Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Almost heaven. West Virginia. Welcome back to the Going Podcast. I'm the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm J Clone 89.
Beep, beep, boop, boop.
That's right.
And we were just doing the stupidest stuff during the intro.
Yeah, I thought you were going to eat that Vicks.
No, I accidentally, it touched my nose and it burns. It still burns.
It's Vicks Maple Rub. It's a good burn.
No, it's not. It's like gasoline.
I like it.
Who are we joined by tonight?
Famous author and reoccurring guest of the show, Michael Thompson.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, play the cheering.
No, it's okay. Okay, yeah. Give me one second.
Hard. We had to be ready. We weren't ready.
Okay, give me one second. Say, give him his intro again.
Famous author and frequent guest of the show, Michael Thompson.
Yay!
Man, the crowd really likes him.
Still going. Settle down, everyone, now. Settle down. There we go.
Settle down, everyone. Yeah.
All right, now.
Oh, gosh.
Bring it back. Back to the basics.
90% of episodes, we forget the sound pad exists.
I know.
There's like 500 one. Sounds on this thing.
And we use four of them.
Yeah, because I'm scared. I don't remember what half of them do.
Yeah, that's a lot of lights, a lot of buttons.
I think Michael probably holds the record for most appearances on the podcast.
I think you're right.
I mean, I don't know of anybody else that would be close.
Well, maybe you or me, but that's about it.
Oh yeah. Because Joel's been on quite a few times. What?
I'm just trying to think. I don't know.
Besides, it's him and Joel, but I think Michael's been on a lot more than Joel.
I think so. I think you're right.
Well, I'm honored.
And we're going to talk about all kinds of exciting things, but mostly, or the startly, the live show we have together.
Yeah.
Sea monsters
and UFOs.
June 14th, Noreta Lanes, 1182, State Route 235, Ada, Ohio, 45810. Crypto Corn Podcast and famous author, Michael Thompson, world-renowned.
Known for the Chicken Boy series and the Orb series. And then most importantly known for, Michael, I'll have you introduce it since you're doing the Sea Monsters and UFOs.
Yes, the Winslow Hofner series, folkloric fantasy on the high seas, cryptids, sea monsters, epic urban legends that few have beheld. But there's one man who happens to have seen them all. The gallant fisherman Winslow Hofner. And he's regaling his tales of adventure to a couple of journalists who discover their small harbor towns harboring incredible secrets. I'm going to be talking about all of the cool and obscure sea monster legends from around the world that inspired the Winslow Hofner series, and then show how I bring them to life and adapt them for storytelling, both through the written word and illustrations. It's going to be really cool.
And I actually, I know for a fact, as long as he doesn't get destroyed between now and then, Winslow Hofner will be at the bowling alley.
Winslow Hofner himself is
I guess he will be.
He is he is at the bowling alley right now, actually.
I thought you were talking about that guy we seen at... Oh, you weren't there.
I wasn't there. No, I'm talking about...
Counterquest.
I'm talking about the statue of Winslow Hofner you have.
Yep, we got... It's in the flesh.
The stone.
Yeah, so take a picture with Winslow Hofner statue at the bowling alley.
Maybe I'll drag a big sea serpent out there.
Oh, we should.
We actually have several sea monsters.
Well, we got UFOs to bring out there, so...
Excuse me, I'm burpy. For no
it's
reason.
Gonna be out of this world.
Oh, I but believe not, it.
Wait, wait.
As I above, have. So below. I, yes.
Oh, wrong one.
Yeah, that ain't perfect.
There we go.
There, that was the right one. And that's why we don't. Maybe that should sit on my side.
I mean, it's just the words are so tiny.
I know.
And then remember what they are. But yeah, so it's going to be a fun night. There was a bar and a restaurant inside the bowling alley. So there'll be plenty of food and drink on your own dime. You can get tickets.
Yep.
They are selling. So it is a limited event. I think it's 75 people max or
roughly
50 people
max,
something like that.
Somewhere in there. It's just $10 a ticket.
Yeah.
Just come out and have fun and see both of us and hang out with both of us.
And
both of us being the CryptoCorn and Michael Thompson.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 4 hours long. I got it here in front of me. It's from 5 to 9. The place will still be open after, you know, so, I mean, nobody's going to kick you out at 9 o'clock as long as you're spending money. But, you know, that's kind of when the event is 4 hours long. But yeah, you want tickets? They're down in the link below. Get them while they're hot. Don't miss out because I think they're like a third of the way sold out now. We still got months to go. It's going to be super fun. I'm just basically going to beat Jay with a dead jellyfish for the UFO section.
Oh, fair enough.
Be like, look at this jellyfish fly.
Oh, now that you told me, I'm going to wear my anti-stinger.
Anti-jellyfish.
Yeah.
Anti-jellyfish hat.
Yes. I own 3.
You can't take me down. I'm wearing my anti-jellyfish hat.
only on this show. Does that make any sense?
Thunderbolt.
All right. So didn't you do something recently to... You upset Michael, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
You're a horrible...
No, it's okay.
I did. I publicly have to apologize to Michael for a misunderstanding. I don't know if alcohol was involved, but I'm going to guess alcohol was involved.
Maybe.
So, Michael, I publicly apologize to you. I'm sorry.
I publicly accept your apologies.
Thank you. Congratulations on the house. Michael just got a house.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you. Moving out into the woods, fulfilling the author stereotype, fleeing from society.
Good.
Are you going to fulfill the author stereotype where a crazy woman kidnaps you and breaks your legs?
God, I hope not. I've never seen that movie. Everyone's like, you should watch it. I was like, should I? Should I?
No.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not for an author. It's not the best one.
No, it's like, because it's only authors. It's just like.
Yeah, that might be the one demographic not to watch it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just don't break down.
Sure.
Okay.
Because isn't that how that starts? Doesn't he break down?
I can't remember.
Near where that lady is, and it just is like a happy coincidence or something like that.
I can't remember. Or if she forced it to happen. I don't remember.
I can't remember. It's been forever.
Me too. Yeah, I've only seen it once.
I remember the sledgehammer scene was probably... I was way too young to see it.
Oh, yeah?
And it was really good sound effects, and it made me like throw up.
I believe it.
Just because bone exploding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful.
Good, good, good. If you can't tell, we're at the tail end of a recording day. That's always when... At least me personally, my mind is always off the rails with just being like whatever. So you've had some exciting stuff happen recently. Like I said, congrats on the house. You killed another author to gain their soul, which is awesome.
It's a rightful passage.
But you recently found out about a very interesting cryptid. And that's why I got my phone out. I'm looking at the picture you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I did a quick sketch of it.
You did? That's you?
Yeah, that's my art. Yeah,
that's very awesome. Good.
Oh, thank you.
I thought you just found this.
No, there's no art that exists of this thing.
Well, now, so,
now there is.
Lately, I've been studying cryptids in my home state for a couple of creative reasons for some future projects. One that's collaborative, and then one that's, you know, just me. And Virginia kind of has a reputation for not having too many cryptids, as it appears online. I've seen forums where there was like one comment that really made me laugh, where it said, yeah, West Virginia got all the good cryptids in the divorce.
They did get a lot of them.
They got a lot of them. And I think that's probably the reason why it's so hard to find, at least online. If you search Virginia cryptids, then you're going to get a lot of West Virginia cryptids, mm-hmm. and you're going to be scrolling through a lot of Mothman articles and stuff like that. But I started getting some books for my research, like this one, Monsters of Virginia by L.B. Taylor Jr., which is a really good book. It's well written. It's well researched. And I found some really cool and obscure ones, and I really like the obscure ones. So as much as I like researching the aquatic cryptids and the things that are lurking in the depths, this is going to be something that goes bump in the woods. Mm. And so which is perfect for the upcoming projects that I mentioned. And I'm just kind of curious to see what you guys make of this one, you know, from your cryptid expertise.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start telling us about it?
Sure. This is the Prince William Minotaur.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think we've ever done a Minotaur. We've done goat men. We've done about every other man thing. Cow.
Mm-hmm. No Minotaurs.
Highland cow.
Exactly. All right. So I'm just going to read this short section from the book here in a few chunks. The following account from the eyewitness sighting of an alleged Minotaur, a mythological beast believed to be half man and half bull, was published in the Alexandria Gazette newspaper in December 1868. It becomes my duty, the author began, to chronicle a most singular and extraordinary series of nocturnal visitations on the part of some ghostly apparition on the farm of one whom I shall call Silas Brown Esquire, a peaceable and intelligent citizen of this county, Prince William, south of Fairfax. Mr. Brown lives in what is known as the Forest of Prince William, near the village of Independent Hill, and his residence is completely surrounded with the growth indigenous to this section of the county. Quote, for the past few weeks, visions of an alarming character have been seen in the neighboring forest, but more particularly in the copse adjacent to Mr. Brown's barn and stable. At numbers of times has an immense figure been seen passing to and from near the barn with large horns and terrible claws, which it contracts to a sort of hoof, and has assaulted Mr. Brown when he attempted after dark to feed his horses and stock in such a manner as with such violence that he has been compelled to flee his house for safety. So he's had multiple sightings of this thing, as we learn here. We've got some archaic language too, so pardon mm-hmm. me starting and stopping. But yeah, so there's been something at the edge of the woods that keeps visiting his property.
So the hoofs or the talons that pull back into a hoof-like structure on the hands.
Hmm. That's very interesting.
Keep going. It just is, yeah.
Right. The figure, to the best of Mr. Brown's recollection, seemed about, get ready for this, three times as large as a man in its front, and having a back converging from its neck and its shoulders horizontally to the distance of some 6 to 8 feet.
Whoa.
And supplied on each side with huge and tremendous arms. It is of a pale bluish color when first seen, but upon being irritated by the near approach of any person, becomes a deadly white and issues from its surface a small volume of smoke accompanied with a sickening smell.
Very strange.
This is pretty interesting. There's been a lot of monsters in the woods, lots of cryptids in the woods that are said to be accompanied by a smell. But this is not only the aroma, but it seems like visual, like there's some type of steam
or fog,
right? Yeah,
powder coming off it,
which that you don't hear very often at all.
Yeah, pretty interesting. And now the other thing about this section that really struck me was it three times the size of a human. It has a head of a bull. It's standing on two legs and is three times the size of a human. And it's not only that, but this coloration.
And then what it say from its shoulders to its back was 8 foot?
Six to 8 feet.
So it says converging from its neck and its shoulders horizontally to the distance of some 6 to 8 feet.
Mm.
That's unbelievably massive.
Wait, horizontally?
So it's the like distance the breadth from its shoulders. Yeah,
between the shoulders.
8 feet?
6 to 8.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a Hulk.
It's a giant.
And so I mean, let's talk about that. Just Bigfoot for size reference for a lot of people. An 8 foot Bigfoot is 4 feet wide, and that's considered hulking.
Yeah.
So for something to be 8 foot wide, I mean, that's as big as a lot of Bigfoots, like just as wide as a lot of Bigfoots are tall.
Tall, yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
White or blue until it gets mad, then it turns white.
Mm-hmm. When irritated, yeah.
Dust or powder or steam or smoke comes off it with a foul odor. Did they ever describe the foul odor, or did they just said foul odor?
Yes, so it's going to go into detail on the odor later on.
Okay, just curious.
So we can continue a little
bit. Yes, please.
This ghoul, or unnatural and horrible animal, or demon, has been seen as often as 4 times near Mr. Brown's stable. And when seen, it has lingered till its deadly effluvia has completely impregnated the surrounding atmosphere.
That's smell, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so.
I've heard that word a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, okay. Go on, sorry.
Unless it's like steam or something, we should probably look it up.
Well, how's it spelled? This is like an After
Word of
Dark
the day.
Episode.
Effluvia,
E-F-F-L-U-V-I-A. Unpleasant or harmful odor, secretion, or discharge.
Mm.
It can be a gas or a liquid.
Aha. Mm. Uh-huh.
Interesting. So maybe it's the actual gas, because it did mention that like a smoky sort of thing came off of it, right? So
mm-hmm. That's what I'm picturing.
Yeah. So let's continue. One evening, Mr. Brown, desiring to have another beside himself see this terrible visitant, induced a courageous gentleman, whom I shall call Siger, who happened with his wife to spend the evening at Mr. Brown's, to go to the stable to feed his horses. Mr. Siger, not believing the story, went without hesitation, when upon entering the stable, he was alarmed by the fall at or near his feet with a deep rumbling sound of a tremendous stone. So a big old rock was thrown at him. Mr. Siger, without looking up to see whence the rock came, picked up the stone, and it was so hot that he was compelled to drop it.
Huh.
So somehow, inexplicably, the rock was superheated.
Odd.
This is odd, and I never thought about that before when people get like stones thrown at them by Bigfoot or something. Never talk about collecting them. You know?
Mm, yeah, right. I've never really heard of people. I've heard people picking them up and throwing them back.
Right.
Okay.
No, but that's more like the softball size.
Yeah, the little ones, yeah.
Or smaller, you know, pebbles and you know, that kind of
quarter
stuff.
Quarter size something. Yeah.
Yeah, never anything like what I'm picturing is like a bowling ball size thing.
This time?
Yeah. I mean that's in my head. I don't know. What do you think, Michael?
Well, they described it as quite large. So it has to be large enough to be shocking that it sailed through the air, but also
he picked it up.
Light enough to pick up.
Right.
I'm picturing like a bowling ball, I guess. Like, or maybe a little bigger, because, I mean, that's probably a 70, 80-pound rock.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not tiny, but it's still, you can pick it up.
It's, yeah, not easily, but you can.
Yeah, it's not going to, and that was super heated.
It's not like you're going to be hucking it through the woods.
I mean, matters how mad I am.
That matters.
I watched a woman throw a dresser one time.
Mm.
Whoa.
That was, she was having a mental breakdown.
That's what happens.
At a cop.
Or dressers.
True story. I've seen it. Emily's seen it too.
All right, we're going to get back on track.
All right. Last little section here. Upon looking up, he beheld the unearthly monster not over 50 yards from him, and the air quickly became filled and inoculated with brimstone.
Mm.
Not wishing to be thought a coward, he did not mention anything of this at the house, but upon walking home with his wife the same night, he told her of what happened at the stable. And instantly she became alarmed and was carried home in a state of apparent instability. The neighborhood is in a state of excitement, and steps have been taken to investigate this frightening matter.
So it's a demon.
No, I'm just kidding. I was going to do the same thing. Took it away from me. I was literally going to do the same thing.
Well, the
fire and brimstone, flaming rock. Oh, when did they describe it as a minotaur? Did I miss it? When did they describe the horns?
Well, he said the bull head.
A bull head.
It has the
okay.
head of a bull.
Okay.
It's covered in fur, hooves, and I think it meant hooves on its feet and then claws on its hands. But
because the claws form hoof-like structures when they're pulled right. back, but they open up. But they open up them like hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does sound just like a minotaur, like a
like Babe the Blue Ox,
Mediterranean, you know, minotaur.
If Babe and Paul Bunyan like had a baby,
this is also
I mean, this Babe is also the Blue Ox is going to be one of my jokes later on. Like,
oh shoot,
I did
Babe
forget
has
it
been
was
lifting.
Blue. Yeah, started lifting. It is. It's Babe and Paul's baby.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
that's what happens when a Nephilim lays down with a yak.
Funny, a yak.
I mean, fire. I mean, literally flaming rock and the smell of brimstone.
Yeah, it can't be good.
I mean, that's straight up out of some demon stuff,
or just interdimensional.
Oh yeah,
hellscape. I don't know.
Hell. I mean, just hell. It sounds like.
At first, I was looking up. I don't know exactly where this happened. I know it happened in Virginia, but I know Virginia is a big
state.
Military state.
Oh.
And a big CIA state.
Well, this is 1860 something.
And those things didn't exist back then?
No.
Well, CIA didn't, but military did.
It was just the Army until what?
Maybe that's why they set up there, because it's weird. It's a weird spot. Because don't they have like mountains and stuff hollowed out in Virginia with like.
Sure.
Would they have like secret. Military bases and flight testing facilities, like aviation and stuff like that. I don't know.
Mount Weather. There's some secret bases too.
Okay, so there's a lot of weird stuff already with Virginia to begin with, but going back to the 1860s, maybe there was even more weird, and that's why they set up there.
Maybe, but it struck me. It was interesting for a few reasons. I mean, one. A lot of the behavior sounds like a Sasquatch until it doesn't, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've got the fur changing color, as I understand, you know, I've heard about the ability
that,
of Sasquatch to sort of raise and change its fur. Or that's a theorized adaptation that it might have to change its fur color. Not that blue is all that common of a fur color, but it does exist. It's probably the rarest color in.
It is the rarest color in nature. There's not even blue birds. Do you know that? Did you guys know that? There's no such thing
what
as a blue bird.
Jay?
They're not blue. They have evolutionary tricks to make you think they're blue.
But if I think it's blue, doesn't that therefore make it blue?
That's your mind lying to
I
you.
Think, therefore I am.
Yeah. No, but blue pigment is extremely, extremely rare in nature.
Right. Like Egyptian blue.
Especially in vertebrates.
Mm-hmm.
Invertebrates and plants. A lot of times they can produce blue pigment.
Wait, especially in vertebrates?
It's very rare in space vertebrates.
Okay, just making sure.
It's very rare in animals with a spinal column.
Just wanted to make sure I didn't confuse anybody because you confused me. You know, you think about it.
It's more common, and it's not even common in those things, but it's more common in vertebrates. In invertebrates.
There we go.
Or plants and fungi.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of crustaceans have blue pigments, I can't even remember. I just was listening to this on Blue Planet, I think, or something with the kids about the birds and the blue thing.
Mm-hmm.
That most birds that look blue aren't blue. There's a weird like refractive process they do because blue pigment is much more expensive than doing like
interesting
some magic stuff essentially to get to look blue.
Well, how does a robin get its egg to be that color?
Don't know. Don't ask me. Ask God.
What about when chickens have blue eggs? Is that blue?
No, that's like a weird turquoise green blue. Sea foam.
I just wonder where that comes from. I don't know.
No, there is blue pigment. It
just
it's
rare.
Very rare in feathers. Mm-hmm. It's very rare in general.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, there are some primates that have some blue fur. I don't know if it's like true blue or like the trick you blue, you know?
Right. I didn't even know that was an option.
I don't know.
There is. So I'm looking up stuff, but this does remind me of another cryptid very easily.
Okay.
And only actually one state over.
I think I know. I might have it on my list here. We'll see if you
get it right. It sounds like the West Virginia sheep squatch or the white thing.
Yes, it does.
Oh, wow.
The big hominid with hoofs, fur, and horns on its head that is has a bad attitude, acts kind of like a Bigfoot, and it just is horrible to look at. They That's stink. Right. They stink. So this one, I mean, but they're white.
Do you think they actually stink, or do you think they make you think they stink?
It could be either or.
They stink, therefore they are.
That's right. We just talked with Randy Bauer. He's going to be at the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree, but his experience with Sasquatch on his property is he says that they don't actually stink, but they put that smell in your mind to ward you off, to deter you. But the smell doesn't actually exist physically. It's just a thought, basically, placed there.
Oh, wow. That's the first time I've heard that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
I was just thinking, here's a thought I had. Why it was blue and then went white.
Okay.
So we talked about this with Bat Squatch, that the volcanic ash may have dyed it blue. It may have not actually been blue, because it wasn't even described as like, it wasn't described as royal blue or anything like that. It was described as like a pale purply blue, really muted blue. And we talked to the volcanic ash, you know, from the, you know, from the eruption of St. Helens, could have just made it look like that. If it lived there, it could be prolongedly look like that, or it could be temporary. So I kind of wonder if there's some kind of ash on the white fur. And then if it raises its fur when it's upset or something like that, if that's that dust or whatever it's seen coming off, it was dust. Mm-hmm. A lot of sheep, I know sheep and goats especially, will roll into dust to get rid of parasites. So that's what they'll do, is they'll try to get as much dirt into their fur, especially sheep. Sheep have a big problem with it because of their like laminin, I think it's the oil that causes sheep wool not to shrink on the sheep. It's an oil they naturally produce.
Okay.
But they can get a lot of parasites because the way their fur is designed, their wool. So they'll force like dirt and stuff in it to kind of basically choke out the lice. I don't know. It makes me think of that. And they stink. I don't know if anybody's been around a male sheep or a goat. They reek. They absolutely reek. They musk, like big rams of both, bucks of goats and rams of sheep. The males, the big males of each, have glands on their neck that are literally just seep musk. And it reeks. It really reeks. They smell
musk.
Not like death. But like 100%, goat's the only, like, it doesn't smell like anything else. It smells like a goat.
Sheep smells like a goat.
Oh, I mean, that same smell. They're very closely related.
I'm just messing with
they're
you.
They're very closely related.
Yeah, I guess.
Turtle tortoise.
Now you're getting too close.
I was looking up New England stuff with Minotaurs to see if it popped up anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a beer that's named after the Minotaur in Virginia.
Do we now?
Yeah, it's an IPA, a DIPA, just means do not drink.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I haven't had it. I just IPAs are just generally it tastes not like, my thing.
No, it tastes like you're drinking lawn clippings.
Which if you like it, you like it. I'm not a herbivore. And then you have the New England's largest maze is the Minotaur Maze.
Oh, wow.
Well, that would probably reference the labyrinth.
Yeah, it does. But it just was interesting to me that you have a giant corn maze that's a Minotaur.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
I wish they would have described the horns a little better. I know it's 18 something.
Impressive horns. They just said that they were there.
I mean,
So we don't know exactly what they look like. So, which is why it's interesting that both. We have bipedal horned creatures, one state over in the form of sheep squatch in West Virginia, and with some sightings in Virginia, as well as the goat man or the Pope Lick monster over in Maryland.
And Kentucky.
And Kentucky. And so, and the sheep squatch, there was a sighting in 2015 in Folks Run, Virginia, and it was estimated to be up to 9 feet tall with a shoulder length between 4 and 5 feet. So still not as startlingly gigantic as this 1800 one, but it's still, that's pretty large. It was woolly and white, had horns. and everything. So it's at least white, which matches what this thing was said to look like half of the time. And, you know, and a lot of times you have the white thing encounters being associated with the supernatural, mm-hmm. And all that. I wonder if that's something there.
And then the rock.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Oh, yeah, the hot rock.
A hot rock.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think, Jay? Why would the rock be hot?
Well, I don't know if it's whatever byproduct is of this thing even just touching it. Or if it's, I mean, it'd have to be something from that. Why it would be that hot? But what's that then?
I mean, did it crawl out of hell and this is just like an actual portal opened and superheated a rock?
Right. Or is that rock from that, wherever that portal it came through? Is it from there too? It's just hotter there. I don't know.
I mean, Cheap Squatch, Minotaur, they do look very demon-esque.
Well, okay, let's
even
imagine.
Pan. I mean, this could even, you get to the Pan stuff.
Let's imagine it did come from a different realm or dimension. It's extremely hot there and it came here and it's colder. Would it well, no, that wouldn't make much sense. I'm trying to think, explain the steam and the,
that's why it's steaming. Yeah, the,
yeah,
temperature difference. This was in December, or well, this was reported in December, so we don't know.
But I mean, it could, yeah, I mean, it would steam. We go outside right now, it's -6.
Yeah,
and I just actually did this. I took dinner from the previous night to feed the birds, to feed the chickens and the ducks, and it was not hot. When I dumped it on the on their little feeding thing, it was steaming.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the room temperature difference to outside where it's negative, you know, 6 or something.
So what if that's what
yeah,
it was?
I mean, you'll steam is just like that transfer of
energy
of heat. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like in water, or you know, water off your skin or whatever.
So if it, let's just say it portaled here and it had that with it, or that was by it, and it got pulled through too,
sure.
And it's hot there, it's hot here. So maybe it wasn't like hot, but hot enough you pick it up. It feels like, oh, like enough
that's
to startle
a hot
you.
Rock.
Yeah.
That's a hot rock. The rocks aren't supposed to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
That's
my thought. I don't know.
Also, if the portal is opening,
mm-hmm.
I do think there's a big discharge of energy when this happens.
Maybe the rock collected it.
Yeah. I mean, if the rock was right under or around it, you know, it could have heated that. And whether the Minotaur threw it or kicked it, or maybe even just like, talk about the metal door slamming sound when they open. It could have just rolled it, you know, the actual portal opening and closing, or it crawled out of hell. Like, I'm trying to think. It wasn't Minotaurs, but in some like Greece and Roman and those and some of those cultures, there was, and it wasn't a Minotaur, but there was a creature that would do that.
Hmm.
And I cannot remember the name of it. It was, would crawl out of the ground and would basically leave like volcanic fissures behind. Hmm. So it lived in a cave systems near volcanoes. And it was superheated, and it would crawl out of volcanic, like when it came out, it would like leave behind a volcanic fissure. That's how you knew it emerged.
All right.
You'd find a bunch of basically hot rocks, and maybe a little lava and stuff like that, or glass. Volcanic glass was a big one they were talking about with it. That it was so hot when it would come out of the ground, any rock it would grab, it would just melt into volcanic glass obsidian.
Yeah. Wow. You can't remember the name of it?
No, I mean, it's in one of my books. I think it's in the book on Greece.
Okay.
It's Greece folklore monsters.
Pretty interesting.
I've got the Cretan bull here. I don't know if that's...
The Cretan bull?
It's what apparently gave birth to the first Minotaur.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just searched up, you know, some of the keywords you said.
Oh, and that gave birth? A lava monster gave birth to?
I don't know if it's a lava monster.
Or underground monster? Yeah, I don't remember. This thing wasn't a lava monster. It liked being around active volcanoes.
Yeah.
They were seen around Pompeii, and they couldn't figure out why. And then...
Oh. Huh.
Active volcano.
Yeah.
I think they were even in The Secret Saturdays, which was that show with cryptids. Ooh. There was a cartoon on Cartoon Network where they were helping save cryptids, relocate them, and there was bad guys trying to use cryptids for their abilities and stuff like that. Basically they were... like big reptiles that lived inside volcanoes because they laid their eggs in lava chambers. And they were using them, they were basically stealing their skin for suits.
Because
their skin is pretty, it's lava proof.
I was just going to say, heat proof?
Magma.
Yeah.
Magma proof.
Magma proof. They need to cover their, so they should have covered their vehicle in the core.
That's what they made their nest out of, is these big shed skins.
Oh, okay.
So they were hurting the eggs because they were stealing all the skins.
See, it all adds up. We get to the bottom of all these.
No, it really does sound very similar to, like you said, the goat man, the sheep squatch.
Yeah.
It didn't, whether it threw the rock. Now, did it do anything, or was it just, was it stealing food? I don't remember.
It just kept showing up. So clearly it had beef with this guy, you know.
Or it really liked one of his livestock.
Oh, possibly. I mean, it is a farm.
That's what I kept thinking of. Why is it by hanging up by the barn? Either the food or it really liked one of his cows.
Did he ever describe having an actual run-in with it?
Just what appeared there in this newspaper article here.
Okay. So the farmer kept seeing it. The article description comes from the guy he invited to see it.
So the guy who invited, that was the second witness, was the guy who was invited to see it. And then he never told the farmer, I saw it too, but he told his wife. And then, I guess they told the person who wrote the article.
Hmm.
I mean,
so I've got a list.
Oh, go ahead.
Of possible things. And I thought that we could,
I love when you do the work,
run through it. We've touched on a couple of them, but I feel like maybe we can put it in a bullet fashion and then see if it's real or shoot it down here. Now, is it just a Sasquatch? And this is just 100 years or something before Sasquatch or Bigfoot became popular. And so you come into contact with this thing, and it's just so scary that the closest equivalent you can think of is some type of Greek mythology monster.
So with size, I can definitely see that being exaggerated. We talk about that a lot with scary encounters. The human brain will often exaggerate the size of the enemy. With unfortunate cases of, we've talked about it with rape victims, both men and women, a lot of times the attacker in their mind will be much larger than they actually were, because it's a horrible
experience,
thing.
Yeah.
And so your brain just does all kinds of, the one part of your brain lies to the front part. About all kinds of stuff, or not lies, exaggerates, or just so, I don't know. We talk about it a lot with the animalistic threats and stuff like that.
Just to make sure you're aware. This is scary. You've got to go.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in here that is very Bigfooty.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff that is very not Bigfooty.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it matters how much you take these newspaper articles, the people at their word, versus what is it? Journalism, creative journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Did the journalist add the horns?
Artistic license.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's all we talk about, especially 1800 stuff, that, this is probably, eight time removed from the original source or whatever. I talk about Adam Benedict's books a lot because they are literally just the newspaper articles.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, which I enjoy because there's no embellishments from several authors, you know?
Right. No biased opinions, nothing, no angle coming in, no agenda.
A lot of the stuff that is in the books from the eight or from the 80s came from books from the 20s that came from the newspaper articles from the 1880s.
Right, exactly.
You know, so that's three times removed, at least.
Big game of telephone.
So when you get a, when you just see the article, you know, it's at least that's what a journalist said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're taking him as at the story being mostly correct or mostly true, I personally would go, no, this isn't a Bigfoot.
I think I'm with you on that one. Just with the simple horns aspect, I mean, the horns or the bullhead. But
I mean, Bigfoot has what? Big feet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're really focused on hoofs rather than massive phalanges,
right?
You know, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the horn thing, you'd say they added, right?
But okay, I think, yeah, sure.
I mean, you could. I don't know.
Unless it's a Bigfoot wearing a hat.
Oh, now that's an option we never.
Now, Mark Muncy, good friend, he has several stories of Bigfoots wearing hats.
Oh,
including a top hat.
Right, the Takuhi, is that it?
Oh, yeah, from Florida.
South Dakota?
Oh, no, the one from Florida. The lantern.
Oh, there's one in South Dakota that wears a top hat.
Oh, I didn't know that one. No, there's one in Florida that wears a top hat and carries a lantern.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's called like Old Mike or something like that from like the 1800s.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's me. No, I'm joking.
But no, it really, it's just like talked about like this, how they described it was a Bigfoot, even though they didn't use the word Bigfoot or Sasquatch.
Hmm.
An 8-foot tall wild man that was covered in hair and all he wore was a top hat and carried a lantern. And he'd just go out, he'd walk in the middle of the swamp and fish with his hands.
Hey, there's one way to do it.
And you're like, just don't bother him and he won't bother you. No, I mean, what do you think, Michael? Are you thinking Bigfoot or not?
There's a few possibilities. I'll reserve.
All right. Keep going.
I'll reserve. I definitely, well, the it's squatchy, you know.
It is. I mean, it has a lot of
the rock. But then the rock is superheated. It smells, but it smells like brimstone. So
yeah, different.
It's a little different, you know, and it could be a Sasquatch that's somehow wearing something, or perhaps in the presence of the woods, like it kind of messes with the silhouette, or maybe it has a fresh kill slung over its shoulder and that's creating the horns. Ooh. like he killed a cow and that's draped.
No
over.
Joke. I was going to say, maybe you are right. Maybe it is just wearing a cow.
Yeah.
As like a, what do they call this? Not a shawl, but like
a boa.
Is that what it is?
Well, no, a boa goes around your neck like a feather boa.
Yeah, with the little, it's the head, and then like a cape on your back, basically, but it's all one piece.
Cowl?
Yeah, emphasis on the cow, but yeah.
I guess cowl. So. I thought you were just making a joke.
Cowl. It was a cowl.
A cowl. Yeah. Cowl.
No, I mean, it could just be a Bigfoot wearing a cow.
I guess I didn't think of that option.
I mean, I didn't.
Would drastically increase the size of the thing, you know, no doubt.
I mean, if you're wearing a cow hat, I mean, you go from 8 foot to 10 foot real fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like cows are small.
No, I mean, it's, no.
What?
If you're wearing a cow?
Is there a blue cow? Not counting Babe.
This is the last of Babe.
Oh, yeah.
Bigfoot killed Babe, the big blue ox, and is wearing it.
Yeah, he's not the Bigfoot.
I wonder it stunk.
Yeah. It's rotting corpse.
A big
on his
rotting
back.
Cow. It's where. Okay, I think I've changed my mind. I think this is a Bigfoot wearing a cow.
Could be.
No, I mean, yeah, no. There's definitely a lot of squashy things with it. There's definitely a lot of non-squashy things.
Yes, that's I think the important part.
So the next thing on the list is something we've already touched on, which is the sheep squatch, and this has sightings both in Virginia and in West Virginia, and
Kentucky and Maryland and Ohio.
Right, it's all over the place. Also sometimes called the white thing, so it might have some supernatural things going on with it. And I think it's quite interesting that there's something that's already, well, sometimes it's quadrupedal, but a lot of the times it is walking on two legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's big, it's furry, it's white, and it has horns.
Was it Virginia or West Virginia, the one with the sheep squatch and the Bigfoot?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember. What season?
I don't know. Whatever episode we did the white thing episode in.
Oh, gosh. Season three?
I think season three.
I think so.
No, so Bigfoot and sheep squatch do not like each other.
Hmm.
That's been documented several times. One was a Boy Scout camp, and I think it was either Virginia or West Virginia, that was hearing strange noises across this pretty shallow river all night. And they see a guy, a big guy, walking down the banks of the river on the other side. and they shine a light over there, and it's this massive sheep squatch. White fur, big horns, this wow. gnarled face, just looks angry. And then it starts making a beeline through the river at the Boy Scout camp. The counselors and the Boy Scouts are like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And then up on the top of the mountain, there was this monstrous roar. The sheep squatch looked up at the mountain, heard the roar, looked at the boys, growled, and then started walking down the river away from them.
Oh, wow.
Like, and they heard the noises. So the noises they were hearing all night were from what they thought was a Bigfoot up on the mountain. The sheep squatch was patrolling the river from the opposite way.
Mm.
And so they think that the sheep, that whatever, they assumed it was a Bigfoot. Because I think they went the next day and found Bigfoot tracks. Like actual, like big human footprints.
Hmm.
So they thought that the Bigfoot just did not want him to be, the sheep squatch to be around.
Right, yeah.
And we've talked about that with the Mountain Kings episode. That there may be these, with these cryptids or these paranormal beings, there may be a hierarchy or a pecking order when it comes down to it. And these monsters, these either mountain trolls or monster Bigfoots, may be the ones that, all right, when it's done, it's done.
Yeah, they assert their dominance.
Yeah.
That's cool. You got a forest guardian and potentially a forest demon slugging it out.
I'll put That's my money on the Bigfoot.
Dude, that'd be a good fight.
I'll put my money on the Bigfoot any day.
Oh, it sounds like March Madness talk you're doing right here.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh, it's coming up.
It is coming
up. I haven't started any of the work on it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my. All right. Thank you for reminding me. I got to call Ralph. No, okay. No, I mean, I really think whatever Sheep Squatch is, this is a high contender for this thing. Where are you at, yeah. Jay?
I like the Sheep Squatch. I like that part of it. There was another thing to, not to get away from the sheep squatch, because I think that probably fits the most boxes for a cryptid that we know, or, you know, it's talked about or documented.
Right.
It seems to fit that one. But we talked about, the whole story reminded me, I don't know if it falls under sheep squatch or not. It may, but maybe not. I don't know. We talked about the kid, remember that story of the kid walking down, I don't know if it was a road or a railroad, and he walked right up beside a cemetery. And in the cemetery was that, like, a creature, big, tall, dark creature that had the horns, and he said it was, like, the devil himself. And it, like, paralleled him in the graveyard, and it followed him all the way until he passed the graveyard, and then it stopped at the edge of it, and it stayed there as he walked by it.
I don't remember this.
You don't recall that one? I can't remember who told us or where we heard it, but it kind of reminds me of a story to that, I guess, kind of, but... You know, it didn't hurt nobody, but they described it as basically being the devil. Like, that's what they thought. That's what it felt like, stalking them and wanted to get them, but it was, like, kind of bound to the cemetery.
It wasn't in the devil from the Bible, was it?
No. We talked about this. Oh, gosh. This might be season one, season two stuff, yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
Oh, that's a first.
I know. I normally remember, at least kind of remember.
I know, and usually I forget about everything.
I really don't remember that one. I think you made it up.
Yeah.
Just oh no I don't know. I really think sheep squatch is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah. I like the sheep squatch explanation. It does not, but I still didn't explain the brimstone or the hot rock or anything like that. I mean, maybe it does in some sense or another wherever it's from, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, that brings me to the final bullet point, which is just which I'll wrap up in a minute tar two right here. Which is that it's something supernatural, and okay. It just is what it is. It's exactly what it looks like. It's exactly what it was described as, and it's a big demon or something, some type of supernatural entity.
Absolutely. And is sheep squatch still that? Can sheep squatch be that? Absolutely, yeah. It can all be supernatural from other dimensions or whatever. And that's more, if I'm going to pick one, that's going to be the one I'm going to lead towards, because it just... That or maybe a government experiment in the 1800s where they're already working on manipulating DNA of creatures and animals and people and splicing them together. I don't know. Or maybe that's from the future. They did that in the future and it went through a time slip and ended up back there. I don't know anymore.
I mean, whatever a Minotaur is, like you said, demonic, paranormal. Mm-hmm. I mean, even to the Feywilds creatures and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's weird. Some of the Greek and European stuff made it over to America, like Pan, I mentioned earlier, which Pan is a goat, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or the Green Man, which is another version of Pan, which has weird cult following here in the U.S. and weird, like, random places in Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
They still worship Pan, which we're going to do a Pan, like a big Pan episode on. It's just really, really hard to do because it's just so fragmented.
Mm.
So there's always that chance that somebody brought it over with them. If we talk about the association of, like, Fae, that there may be indigenous Fae, and then there may be brought over Fae, you know, invasive or pioneers or like
invasive Fae.
Well, yeah, like if they come with the people that live in their areas.
Oh yeah,
invasive.
And then the Bigfoot murders them.
I like it. That might be a new term. Or you might just coin a new phrase.
Invasive species.
Yeah. They live in the Fae. They are the Fae. They don't belong here. They're invasive.
I made a good Minotaur pun earlier that no one noticed.
What'd you say? No.
I'm going to wrap it up in a minute or two.
Oh, I just thought you... Okay. I thought it sounded weird, but I didn't make the connection.
Oh, man. I was really proud of that, and I looked up, and you just didn't notice. I was like, all
right. Right. Oops, moving on.
I'm sorry. I'm reading about Greek monsters right
now. That's okay. I'm not going to have a cow about it or anything.
Where is it? Where is it?
I think you're on the page. There you go.
I wasn't.
I knew it was blue.
That's what I live for.
Now, there's a couple monsters, including the Minotaur, that are surrounded by fire or associated with fire and brimstone.
But ain't it weird, though, that, you know, that, like, the idea of the Minotaur has been around forever, you know? Exactly. It's just kind of odd. I mean,
oh, here's a weird thing with this.
Yeah.
Depending on which legend you're talking about with this, Minotaurs were white.
Ooh.
Which version of the Minotaur? King Minos of Crete. Because he disobeyed. He denied sacrificing a beautiful white bull he had. So his wife gave birth to a white Minotaur.
Wow.
I don't know. It's just weird that I didn't know that.
Virginia.
Now he's in Virginia. You guys keep talking. I'm going to finish reading this.
Well,
we can't discount that Babe could have been lifting Babe the Blue Ox.
Okay, yes, let's do the Babe angle. So, Babe murdered Paul Bunyan. I don't like that lore. Paul Bunyan was murdered, and Babe is on a vengeance seeking Babe mission.
Revenge.
Yep, he's bulking up,
John Wick style. Yeah,
John Wick style.
He's beefing up. Yeah.
I got that one.
He's utterly massive.
Oh my gosh. It's time for your bedtime, Michael. It's your bedtime. Just like a Brian.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think Sheep Squatch and a supernatural Sheep Squatch, something like that, is a good contender.
Yeah, I'm going really early reported Sheep Squatch, I think is where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because historically, I think the oldest ones before this that I have ever heard about were like the 30s, maybe the 20s.
Right, yeah.
Of White Thing / Sheep Squatch. Because we talked about in our White Thing episode that the White Thing is a very confusing mix of folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually like three things shoved underneath the same wording.
Under the same moniker.
Because there's the White Thing that's like the big dog. There's the White Thing that is the Alabama White Thing is a Bigfoot. It's 100% a Bigfoot. I mean, it's just a big white Bigfoot that gets into trouble. And then there's the goat, the Sheep Squatch, you know, goat squatch type entities that are these big white things, like the Lake Fort Worth monster, which is Texas, which is a giant, you know, massive Sheep Squatch, murderous rampage, like very, very ill tempered. So you have a bunch of things when you, have a bunch of things that are falling under this white thing moniker. And it gets a little confusing when you look at it, because there's a lot of white Bigfoots. There is a lot of white Bigfoots reported. And it's not like a southern thing or a northern thing. It's just one here, one there, kind of random dotting. So I'm going, this is a really early report of a Sheep Squatch, and the guy accidentally said cow.
Mm.
I mean, they're both bovids. So, I mean, they're not very distantly related.
I would say ungulates, but I don't know if you're bipedal, you're not really an ungulate.
Well, you know, goats and sheep or goats and cows.
Right.
No, if he's bipedal, he's not an ungulate.
Yep. Dang.
But they are both bovids.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. They're all bovids. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going sheep.
I'm trying to think of a bovid pun, but I'm out of luck.
The
I couldn't think of one either.
When they fight with the Bigfoot, they're going to be catching bovidese hands.
Oh, there it is.
Man.
Come through.
What happens when there's a professional author in the chat?
Yeah.
You get word puns.
Yeah, good with the word.
No, it's been fascinating.
I thought it was a good one. It really caught my eye, and I was excited to find out that there were more Virginia cryptids than I previously thought. I thought I was gonna be scraping the barrel, but I have actually turned up quite a lot, and this one was probably my favorite just because of how unique it was, and so I just kind of wanted to throw it out into the cryptid community and people know about it.
I think New England kind of as a whole is lacking in a lot of cryptid lore or folklore, mostly because not because they didn't have a bunch, just with the way that the settlement happened
and society's been shaped.
Yes, that those are the first places to get the axe,
mm-hmm.
and get all of the locals out, both paranormal and human,
mm-hmm.
The Native Americans.
Oh yeah, erase their history.
Yeah,
replace it with our own.
Because there are still hotbeds like the Huckamuck Swamp and stuff like that.
The Huckamuck?
Yeah,
it's a nice name.
Yeah, I mean there's still
there's
still, but the Huckamuck or Huckamuck, however you say it, is still just an absolute plethora of everything from white things to Bigfoot to giant pythons. Just think of stovepipes.
Dang.
To the Fae, like little people, to death cults, to all this stuff, and that started in the 1700s. It's still going on. It's still happening to this day. And I think all of New England was like that. I really do. That, you know, it's paranormally active like West Virginia is.
Mm-hmm.
But we talked about that a lot on the show. Why is, what's the big difference? Why is West Virginia and Pennsylvania, you know, these two massive cryptid hotbed spots? It's got it's got really harsh mountains and very poor growing conditions for food.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of this border for the North America, the Indian Wars, for example. And three other wars started in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. So it was like this face of, you didn't want to live there because the Indians would come kill you,
mm-hmm.
because all the Indians were mad that they got pushed out of their homes.
Mm-hmm. Rightfully so.
So I think that's maybe why West Virginia and Pennsylvania preserved more of their folklore, more of their things. It was harder to live in, and half of it, you were terrified that the Native Americans were going to come try to take back their home.
Right, yeah.
And then before they did the big push to the Ohio Territory, which anybody doesn't realize, the Ohio Territory was 90% of the country there for a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It was everything west of the Ohio, which was technically the Mississippi River should be called the Ohio River.
It should be. I'll die on that hill.
I will, as a former biologist.
If we can change the Gulf of Mexico, we can change the Ohio River.
The Gulf of America and the Ohio River is the biggest river in the world.
Yeah. That's the way it should be.
No, and I think, like you said, and I think another thing with West Virginia, or not West Virginia, why Virginia seems to be lacking is because it's smack dab next to West Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, which, we get a lot of overlap.
But they have an ungodly amount of one-off entities. Right. Not just the Bigfoot, not just the Mothman stuff. But, I mean, everything Pennsylvania, West Virginia, I mean, the Grafton Monsters, the Veggie Man, you know, all these just weird one-off things.
Veggie Man, Monongi, the...
Ojibwas. So I think that that's kind of hard when you look at it too, that it feels like it doesn't have any, but it's more of that comparison thing, because Ohio has a ton, but when you look at it, compare it to West Virginia or Pennsylvania, it doesn't feel like it has nearly as much. But Ohio has a bunch of random one-off things.
Oh, heck yeah, it does.
But I'm glad you're doing stuff with your own state to get more of that.
I've been also looking into Smithy, the Smith Mountain Lake Monster. I texted you about that one. And there's so little online about that. I was thinking this is probably fake, but then I call some locals, and every single person I've talked to is like, oh yeah, everyone knows about the monster. I was like, okay, interesting. So that's the next one I'm looking into.
Smithy.
What's it look like?
That's the interesting thing. Half of what you'll see is your sort of classic plesiosaur, or dragon type lake monster. And then the other half of what you'll see is a fish man.
Hmm. Hmm. Very interesting.
So one half is fake and one half is maybe real.
That's a good way to boil it down.
I don't believe any of these lake monsters look like plesiosaurs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't, I don't think they do unless they're really big birds or turtles. Or snakes.
Snakes? How could a snake look like a plesiosaur?
Just the neck coming out of the water.
Oh, just the neck.
Some snakes swim like that.
Oh, sure. Okay.
If they're big enough.
Yeah. Well, we know that neck coming out of the water is a fake photo.
Yes. Of Nessie, yes.
Right. So that has no, that means nothing.
Yeah, but it's what we talked about in the Nessie episodes, that almost every Nessie sighting before that was the humps.
Right, exactly.
No neck.
Now it's
neck. And then every Nessie, half the Nessie sightings after that were, they had a big long neck. Before 1954? No, they didn't. Mm. Michael, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing the Minotaur. It was very fascinating. I think it was a really, really early sheep squatch, which is really cool. And that's one of those weird cryptids. They're there. They just don't ever hear
much about them. Yeah.
And this is probably the friendliest one I've ever heard about.
Well, it didn't kill nobody. Let's
that's what I'm saying. Nobody got... It didn't murder that guy with a rock.
Yeah.
Other stories I've heard of sheep squatch or goat men, they're normally not very friendly.
No, I can't imagine. There's not one we have where it's been good. So just the best you can do is not bad.
Everybody at home, you want to support us? You want to come out to a live show in Ada, Ohio, June 14th. Come get your tickets for the live show, Sea Monsters and UFOs, with us and Michael. Tickets are in the link below. If you want to come out and have some fun for a couple hours, have a couple beers and just sit. And it is a family-friendly event, so don't worry. It's at the bowling alley, so
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Anything to say before we go, Michael? Promote yourself one more time.
Sure. Thanks for having me on. Always a blast. I think you were the last show I did last year and the first show I've done this year.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. It's good seeing you again. I'll see you guys again at Frogman. That'll be my first in-person convention, Frogman Festival in March.
Prepare not to be sober.
Going to be fun. And of course, Sea Monsters and UFOs, June 14th. That's going to be a blast. You can check out all my books, inspired by cryptids and otherwise, like my fantasy novel, World of the Orb, and my superhero books for kids on michaelthompsonbooks.com. Get all your good reading material and read up on the Wenzel Hofner series, because there's going to be a spinoff soon.
Exciting teaser.
Yeah. I was going to say, that sounds like a fake website if I've ever heard one. all right, Michael, you know how we like to end the episode? I'll count down for three and we'll all scream bye. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.